This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And thank you for being with us on the Vedic Wisdom today. Today I'd like to talk to you about standard conceptions that everybody basically has, and that is, I am mine. Now, if we look at even our speech standards, we talk about I all the time, and we relate mine as opposed to yours. These are standard conceptions in this human society. People are habited to thinking of everything as I and in relationship to me, and they are thinking of possessions that they are mine. Now, the Vedic literature says these are two misconceptions. Neither of these are true. Okay? Now, what we're saying is, if you look at human society, there's two classes of men. One is the lower class of man that shares many conceptions with animals of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And you see in these lower classes, they fight over territory or possessions, cats, dogs, all sorts of other animals. Pecking orders are established because they consider this mine. So we see that this lower stage of human life, the same misconception is prominent. The people have the concept, it's my body, it's my house, my property, that this is my family, this is my society, my country or nation. And these all cause conflict with others who think the same way. We have people that fight over their boundaries. People that become totally angry if you invade their space. Similarly, you mistreat my family, you mistreat me. And my nation, you insult my nation, or your football team beats my football team, or of that variety. And it's confrontation, because everyone is thinking about mine, my possessiveness. But in reality, you come here with nothing and you leave with nothing, and your period of stay varies from anything from a few minutes to 100, maybe 100 plus years, and it's over. So during your time here, nothing is really yours. You have your allotment and you're using certain things and you have control over certain things, or stewardship over certain things. But nothing is actually mine. From my body, it's a temporary vehicle awarded to me by material nature. My family, it happens to be the same people living entity, the same people who took birth from the same parents. But they're still unique individual living entities. They aren't mine. Similarly, your house, you may live in that house 30, 40, 50, 70 years, who knows, and someone else will take it over when you're gone. Maybe somebody had it before you got here. Similarly, all of the aspects of your life where you experience or exhibit possessiveness is illusory. It is not mine. Then the other misconception is I am this, I am that. I am a male, I'm a female, I'm old, I'm young, I'm white, I'm black, I'm red, I'm yellow, I'm all these different things. I am intelligent, I am the owner, I am advanced, I am important. These are all misconceptions as well. Because in reality, we are the living entity. We are not the external body and the external attachments to that body. So we end up having a misconception about who we are. Now, this is a higher status than being possessive of everything belongs to me, mine. But still, it's a misconception that one thinks that I am the center of it all. Many people say, I'm God. So the misconception goes all that way. And there's different classes of men who have the same misconception, just in slightly different tints. The real significance of this I can be realized when one is actually situated in his true consciousness. And in his true consciousness, one knows I am an eternal servant of the Lord. That is proper identity. And this is called pure consciousness. So the Vedic literature teaches us this is the proper conception of life. That I am an eternal servant of the Lord, and everything belongs to the Lord. I'm temporarily using this or that or the other portion of it, and I'm using it to satisfy the senses of the Lord, not to satisfy me. So this misconception that I'm the controller, or I'm the Lord of all I survey, or I'm God, is more dangerous than the conception of I and mine. So although there's some directions about the living entity's intimate relationship with God, there is a oneness. The oneness is not homogeneous. The oneness is intent and perspective. If one has a proper perspective and knows I am the eternal servant of the Lord, he then recognizes that his relationship with the Lord is long-term, eternal, and that it is of a service relationship to he who deserves being served. And we don't fall into that category. We come to the material world, and from our bodily estimation and valuation of ourselves, we think we are. But if you relate yourself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you aren't. You aren't in control of nature. You aren't in control of the things that are happening in your daily life. So we're constitutionally meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. And the Lord asks the living entity, surrender unto me. If you surrender unto him, the living entity's in his proper subordinate condition. And in that position, the Lord goes, all right, now I will release you from the control of material nature. You can't get free from material nature yourself. We all know that no individual, or even group of individuals, is more powerful than nature. You can't suddenly turn on and off gravity, nor can you turn on and off the laws of physics. You cannot turn off the weather. So many different things that are superior, demonstrations of the superior nature of matter, material energy. And yet the material energy, the whole cosmic manifestation, is created, maintained, and annihilated by the Supreme Lord. He's not influenced by it. It is controlled by him. So this is confirmed that the Lord has the ultimate controlling power over material nature in the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita. So the living entity cannot claim to be the controller of nature. So he cannot claim to be the Lord. So we see these misconceptions in the living entity, the misconception of I, it must be given up, because by practicing the understanding that you are actually an eternal servant of the Lord and engaging in the service of the Lord is the only way to get free from the control of material nature. If you're firmly situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, material nature steps back. You're under the control, you're under the relationship of superior energy, the superior energy of the Lord. And the inferior energy, material nature, simply lets go. So there's no real profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord and trying to be the controller. One actually, if he gets good service in the devotional service of the Lord, he can at once become happy. Just like someone who has no money, if he suddenly gets a very good job, he immediately becomes happy. Because with no money, he's so limited and restricted, he's not happy. So when he gets a good job, he becomes happy. Similarly, the living entities are struggling with material nature in 8,400,000 species of life. And they're not happy. We've done several programs here on the Vedic Wisdom about the anxiety that permeates human society. Everybody has it. Many people deny it, and they're going, oh, I'm okay, everything's fine, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, denial. But in reality, everyone has suffering. You didn't mean to, but you bumped your head. You didn't mean to, but you stubbed your toe. Oh, my goodness, that got lost. It got broken. It fell down. Whatever, there's all sorts of things that are happening to everyone, without exception, in this material world that causes anxiety, sometimes a little, sometimes immense. You can imagine the situation where some other portions of the planet where they're suffering under drone strikes. Out of nowhere, out of the clouds, comes a missile and destroys a whole house or a whole compound or a whole block of a town. You can imagine, I hope you don't have to imagine, the intensity of that level of suffering. But man is doing this to man in his misconception of I. I am controlling. I am the owner. It is my nation. It is my country, my house, my right to hate you and kill you because you don't agree with me. All these misconceptions add to the suffering of the material world. They inflame the situation. When a peaceful, harmonious life in the service of the Lord puts out the fire of material existence, material nature simply lets go of he who surrenders to God. And this is the elevating fact, the convincing fact in all religions. These people surrender to Jesus and feel him enter their heart and guide them and support them. Yes, that's right. The same thing, one surrenders to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and gets initiation by the spiritual master. Yes, the same thing. Everything is taken care of. The same thing with Buddha. Meditates into the level of Buddhistattva, where his consciousness is harmonious. And yes, the same thing. He's free from the anxieties. So being properly situated is far more important. And to understand that, you have to give up the conception of I and mine. You have to come to the true perspective, pure consciousness, that I am the eternal servant of the Lord. And by seeing to the satisfaction of his senses, I achieve something far superior than trying to take care of myself. And you are liberated from the control of material nature by the superior energy of the Lord who grants liberation to the sincere servant. So becoming a sincere servant is the door that opens up. It's the real profitable experience. It's the real method of liberating oneself from the misconceptions. So, in the liberated state, you can become a qualified servant of the Lord. And you can reach to that level where material nature releases you from the constant fluctuation of anxiety. So this is the proper conception. To release yourself from these misconceptions of I and mine, to fix yourself in proper identity and proper activity, and come to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord. This platform is the doorway to liberation from the misconceptions of life. So the different living entities in the different portions of the world have these misconceptions of I and mine due to the various manifestations of bodies. Now, the living entities who do not want to be servants are allowed to express and experience their independent desires in the material world under the control of material nature. Okay, they're not going to serve, they want to reject that, they want to have independent freedom, so their independence is still allowed. It's not taken away from them, so the Lord creates the material manifestation. The living entities are awarded bodies among the 8,400,000 species, and they are allowed to have desires and fulfill those desires. So the material energy is represented by three divisions of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in the material nature, the chance of being independent and having an independent choice is still maintained for the living entity. He can choose if he wants to be in goodness, passion, or ignorance. And in there, there's 8,400,000 varieties of lives and experiences that's possible. So it says there's 900,000 varieties of bodies in water, aquatics. There's 2 million varieties of plant life. There's 1,100,000 of reptiles and insects. And there's 1 million form of birds. And there's 3 million different forms of animals. And there's 400,000 different forms of humans. So of these multiple varieties that are available on the different planets within the universe, the living entity is transmigrating from one to the other and enjoying his independent spirit. So even in one particular body, one transmigrates from baby to boy, boy to youth, youth to old age, and then to another body. And the next body is created by the desires of the living entity, the type of body. And it is awarded, it is actually created and awarded to the living entity through the energies of material nature, the type of parents, the mother that of the species that will provide the body that gives you the opportunity to experience what you want to experience, is all manifest. And the Lord supplies all these different forms so that he can enjoy his desire to the fullest extent. So the tiger wants to eat other animals, and that's the form of body he gets. If someone wants to become a demigod in the higher administration of the universe, he can get that form too. It's all according to the consciousness and the work. And similarly, if he desires to return to the spiritual servant mentality of the Lord, he can enjoy directly in the company of the Lord. And he can get that as well. So the minute freedom of the living entity can be fully utilized, and the Lord is so kind that he can award the living entity the type of the body that he desires. So it gives the living entity the opportunity to use his independent freedom, but he has to learn how to use that for his best self-interest. And the Vedic literature teaches us that to come to your best self-interest means to come to the platform of identifying your true self as opposed to your misconceptions. First of all, we aren't the body. We aren't owned or the possession of this family or nation or society. We are eternal living entities, just like actors on a stage. We come into this material world and we gradually learn more and more and more and more until our acting is so convincing, we become convinced we're the body. And we convince others that we're committed to the play. We're committed to make everyone else think, yes, I am this person, this body, identified as Mr. Jones. And the living entities spend their time interacting on the illusory conception, just like being on stage. They act out the parts. And when the time of death comes, they leave the play behind. And according to the quality of your work, you can elevate yourself to the platform of a demigod. You can degrade yourself to the platform of a bug. You can reestablish yourself on the human platform and come back more or less in the same concept and do it again. But these are all described in the Vedic literature as temporary, whereas the living entity is eternal. And since we all desire to enjoy, to understand in proper perspective, to render service of the highest quality, to return to our eternal liberated state of knowledge and bliss, we have to return to the spiritual world. And that is the great opportunity provided in the human form of life. If you have worked to the point you have achieved a human form of life, you must recognize the importance of that and use this human form of life to become fully God conscious, to finish your work in the material world, to finish this unrestricted desires The desires is what's binding you. I want this, so I act to get it, and that means I have to wait and receive the results. I have to get the return, the karmic return. So a lifetime of desiring forces you to get a lifetime of results. And similarly, each life is filled with a web, a network of wanting and getting and needing and having that runs through the entire lifetime that makes us think that we're growing, makes us think that we're learning. But we're only learning on the material platform. The Vedic knowledge is to teach you how to learn on the spiritual platform. What is my eternal work? How do I execute that work? Am I making progress in that work? This is not being taught in the material conception of life. What is being taught is enjoy yourself. As long as you enjoy yourself, it's okay. And this is a travesty. It means that the society has lost its way. It's not actually educating the people. It's not actually delivering substance. That's what the Vedic literature is for. This Vedic literature is to enlighten the human society above the selfishness, the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and bring one up to the platform of rendering loving service, identifying yourself as a selfless servant of the Lord, and begin practicing, serving, sharing, giving of oneself in the material manifestation, and perfect that talent to where one develops into a sincere, fully realized servant of God, qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. The surrendering process of the Lord. Lord, I surrender to you. Please accept me as your servant. I'm tired of the material world. I don't want another body. I want to return to the eternal bliss and knowledge platform. Render service there. Let me go from here. I surrender. And the Lord says, material nature, back off. This person is sincere, and they're trying to qualify themselves by practicing service mentality. So each of us, we have a responsibility, because we have attained the human form of life, that we have to use this great opportunity to get above the misconceptions propagated by education and society and misconception that I am the body and everything around it is mine. We have to get above that. That is what the Vedic literature is for. That is the purpose. It was transcribed, it is protected, it is provided, it is here for you today to give you that understanding, to give you the step up out of the social misconception that is prominent everywhere. I've used the example before. It's like everybody's got a cold, and you want to get rid of your cold. And as soon as you get a little bit ahead, somebody else gives you their cold. The whole human society has this. So you have to meet the spiritual master. You have to meet a disciple of the spiritual master. You have to get a link to the Vedic knowledge. But once you've made that link to the Vedic knowledge and you started to read and hear, the process of devotional service is awakened in you. And you begin training yourself and become skilled in executing devotional service in a humble way. And immediately there is results. Immediately you come out of the intense anxiety. This is what we all want. We want to be happy. We want to be free of anxiety. So the Vedic literature says there is a process. It's described in the Vedic literature completely. It's provided by the great realized souls in the line of disciplic succession who liberate the living entities from their misconceptions and the suffering of material nature. He teaches the living entities how to surrender to the Lord. The Lord requests, surrender unto me, I will protect you. The spiritual master says the same thing. Follow this method, surrender to the Lord, he will protect you. And the living entity comes out of his misconceptions, comes out of his suffering, comes out of his endless chain of senseless desires. And he's firmly situated on the platform of eternal love, eternal bliss, eternal knowledge. This is what we're looking for. Something permanent. something tangible. We see it constantly. I want to build a house. Well, you want to make it out of paper? Oh, no, no. I want something permanent. And there is no such thing, because the whole manifestation is by nature and construction temporary. If you want something permanent, you have to leave here. It's not here. Sorry, wrong store. Go to the eternal platform. That's where something permanent is. That's where something lasts. Things don't last here. Relationships, youth, money, items, objects, none of it lasts here. So take up the opportunity provided in the Vedic literature. Move yourself out of the misconceptions that everyone is trying to share with you by hearing the Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the empowered spiritual acharya for this age, and He is providing you unequivocally clear and selfless information that is brought from all the great saints and sages, emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being delivered without deviation or adulteration to your door for your benefit, your eternal upliftment, out of the I, me, mine concept and into the I am an eternal servant of God. There's where happiness lies.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.